Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com, presented by Rapid Response Generators. Power when it matters most. Take your questions for PK at 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. People asking what the counter is up to in terms of love ball on the show today.
Yeah, I think we're going to set a record.
Pretty high.
By the way,
well, just the mashup alone was 20.
Was amazing. That was really excellent, Ian. I know we praise you a lot, but you know that one was up there. Stilly has a point here. He says one guy is not indicative of organizational failure. Quote, they say they want guys who love ball, and over 7 years they brought in people who didn't love ball. They probably brought in 200 people of that period. It's not like Kirby Smart with reckless drivers, which is an epidemic.
Well, I could go back and comb over it and find you more. We're giving you the big, symbolic, loud ones that hurt them the most. There was a overabundance of them, considering that they said it was their number one thing. They did not have a good enough filter for their number one thing. I maintain that then. I maintain that now.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough. So we were talking with Nick Suss yesterday, and he brought up something I want to get your thoughts on, and that is the receiving core, how it's structured, and the ability to kind of layer your receiving core a little bit from the standpoint of, you know, with Robinson coming in, you feel like you've got kind of that short, intermediate guy that can – you can get the ball out quickly, get the ball in his hands. He's caught over 90 balls the last couple of years. With Ridley – if he's Calvin Ridley that we saw before the injury, and at 32 years old, we'll see. But you feel okay about his ability to stretch the field, get deep, those sorts of things. And Tate, kind of a combination, right? Like if you can, you're hoping he can get over the middle, be an intermediate option, but also make some big plays down the field that would be worthy of being drafted number 4 in the NFL draft. So layering where you're going with the ball, the receiving core, the routes, all those things. How much better do you think that is with the personnel that they've got? How big a deal is that in your
mind?
It's
certainly more varied. I think it's a big deal that Tate and Robinson don't drop the ball. Titans had some major drop issues last year, drive stalling, momentum killing, Ward energy sapping, I think. You know, he's got, all quarterbacks are good at bouncing back from him and saying, no, I'm going to come right back to him and it doesn't affect me and all of that. Clearly affected him and the offense and just stalled some drives, some really untimely drops. Hopefully Ridley gets better in that area by contagiousness of the other two, but the other two being guys who are going to get a lot of targets, not being guys who drop the ball is big. Pushing everybody back, we've talked about this time and time again, into more natural spots on the depth chart, where DK is a 4 and Io Manor is a 5. You know, if there are injuries, you're calling on them, but you're not over-calling on them. Where Bryce Oliver is competing for 6 with Osborne, who got a lot of run at this practice with 3 receivers out, and I thought looked pretty good. And I think we've talked about the idea that they'd like to fill in the back end of the roster with guys like Osborne, who have had some experience. He had a couple 500-yard seasons in Minnesota. Being more suited to fill those back end of the roster spots than you're counting on too many undrafted rookie free agents who now amount to eighth and ninth round picks based on the guys who aren't coming out, you know, two rounds worth of people still staying in college because of NIL and all of that. And then, you know, I've got Bryce Oliver and KJ Osborne and this Montgomery, who looks pretty good for an undrafted receiver, also does not drop the ball. He's 5'11". You would think he's a slot, but he lines up more outside. I think that's a pretty good, compelling competition for six compared to what they've had. And I'm not mentioning two names there on purpose in Restrepo and Mason Kinsey.
No, just did. Well, that's all fine with those back-end guys. That's great. There's all everybody falls in love with right. somebody every year, and they don't really amount to. My question is, okay, so Calvin Ridley, you hope he can stay healthy, have a productive year. Let's assume he's not there next year, right? I mean, it's pretty
he's
clear
not
he's not going to be there in 27. Are DK and or Iowa Man are good enough to elevate to be, because if you know you're hoping Tate and you know Robinson's going to have the ball all the time, those guys will be the two mainstays, you think, next year. Yeah. Are either those two guys or both of them good enough to where, like, actually that's a good starting receiver in 11 personnel, or is it going to be high priority this next offseason to get a difference maker and then keep them at 4 or 5?
Yeah, I don't know if you have the answer now. You have the answer by the end of the season, right? I mean, if DK continues doing what he did as a return man, he obviously becomes stays a very valuable part of your team, and ideally – if he could be wide receiver 3 for you on top of that, that would be great, that you're definitely 3 deep. And if Iowa Manor can at least be 4, that'd be terrific. You know, and then you're just working on your depth and hopefully churning 5, 6 and counting on guys to develop from there. Could you be in position where you need a third starting level guy in 11? Yeah. That's one of the things.
And, you know, really, and a starting outside receiver, I mean, that's a big deal.
Yes,
I mean,
really absolutely.
Could, you know.
Absolutely. And you'll find out a little bit about how much Wandale, you know, they don't want to pigeonhole him as strictly a slot guy. They're obviously going to be in some two wide receiver sets where he could conceivably, should probably be, based on pay structure, one of the guys out there, you know, you would hope gradually more than Ridley based on the future of this thing. So we'll see how they deploy him as well. But I think that's a very good question going forward. Is wide receiver a top 3 need for them next year when their top 2 needs are tackle and probably edge rusher again?
God, you think so?
Yeah.
Not good if that's the case.
What does this year look like for Cody Barton in your mind?
I think you know, I think it's possible that Cody Barton isn't a frontline player. I don't know about at the beginning, but I think 6 weeks in, a month or 6 weeks in, if Anthony Hill is panning out and tracking well, I want my second round pick on the field. Second, third round, was he second? He was third.
Third rounder.
Third round pick on the field, I would hope. And I think it would be a good sign for this team if Hill and Gray were the two linebackers who were on the field the most. That strong side linebacker isn't going to play much in, you know, they're not going to be in base hardly at all. So ideally, I'd want it to be Hill and Gray, your two up and comers, with Barton playing a lot of special teams and backing you up. And I think that could be a matter of, I mean, obviously Hill's got to get comfortable, but then Hill or Gray's got to be a great communicator. And that's not just taking in the signal and re-communicating the signal. That's once the helmet goes dead, being able to
reading keys,
adjust the defense.
By the way, second round.
Playing the chess.
60th overall, second round.
Yeah, playing the chess game. Can you expect a rookie to do that right away? Probably not. My guess is overtakes him, and that's what you want to see a few weeks into the season, right? Yeah. He gets more and more snaps at his expense. That to me would be a
– say, we haven't talked about Barton hardly at all this offseason.
And they tried to
he's
do
actually
that.
A guy – hey, there's actual playable depth at a position. I mean, what a idea. What a concept. You know?
That's a big thing that fans are doing, is like putting together a list of guys who should be traded, and they've got Barton on that list. Well, I don't think Barton's very attractive with this contract.
Have depth.
And know its limitations. And, yes, exactly. As soon
the
as
violent
they have depth,
collision sport.
They demand that you trade that depth. As soon as you trade that depth and Gray or Hill suffers a high ankle sprain, you've got 6 weeks of needing somebody, and then you're forcing it with James Williams, who isn't necessarily there yet, or, you know, Dorian Mousey or whoever.
Is James Williams ever going to be – like, is he always going to be like, oh, man, incredible measurables. He can fly around, but he's going to be a special teams guy.
Yeah, that's how I picture. I mean, he's a seventh-round pick. You would
right.
be
that's
getting
a, good
a lot
outcome.
Out of him.
That's a good outcome.
Yeah, it's not a bad outcome.
Ed's got a question on the text line.
Yep. Edward!
Driven by WilsonCunningham.com. He says, my understanding is Jeff Simmons is not there for OTAs. If so, why is that not a big deal this year as opposed to when he wasn't there for Callahan's first year as the new head coach?
I think he's there for some. He wasn't there for what we saw last week, which was a getaway day. So it was the Thursday before Memorial Day weekend, and he was hardly alone in not being there. The defensive front, the only three guys of note who were there were Martin, Solomon Thomas, and Falk. So there were more of the big-time guys not there than were there.
Well, and the other easy answer to that is he didn't come to OTAs last year. People made somewhat of a big deal about it. And then he had far and away the best year of his career. So when you're having when you have that type of production, you do whatever you want to, man. I don't care what you're doing.
Yeah, people were much more easily upset with him before because he wasn't playing great.
Right.
I mean, he really had a couple, okay years, right? So now it's like, okay, Jeff, do whatever you did last offseason.
Do it again.
Do that,
I'll go on record. I think he should be there.
Yeah.
I think any big-time player with a new coach should be there, not necessarily because you need to be there for the conditioning and stuff, but you need to be there to help set the tone, help lead, and to learn the intricacies of the system with the other people who are learning it. But again, it's voluntary, so you can't bemoan it too much.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think ideally you'd rather have him there.
So we'll see if he's there. I think we're there Friday.
Yep. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your questions to get to with PK coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. 1025 The Game, your racing station. This weekend, catch all the action as NASCAR comes to the Nashville Super Speedway. On 1025 The Game, presented by City Auto and Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, the Cracker Barrel 400, coming up on Sunday at 5 o'clock. Taking your thoughts for Paul Kuharski at 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. PK, Jermaine Johnson coming in this offseason. You've drafted Keldrick Falk. Obviously, we know Femi was drafted last year. Specifically with Femi, if you had to guess right now in a game, how much do you think he plays? What do you think that rotation kind of looks like? And what's kind of your baseline of expectation that you would walk away with from Ola Dejo this year and say, okay, like I feel okay about where this is going? As opposed to what we just got through in his first year where it basically just feels like a total wash of a season.
Well, I think the top people are playing 60% there, right? Now, is somebody in front of Ola Dejo playing 60%? I would think so. Because it doesn't seem like – look, the big mystery on that defensive line is that wide nine rush guy. Right, Jake Martin is one of them. It feels like Falk is going to be one of them. Falk is not a conventional body type for that, and they don't have a lot of conventional body types for that. A lot of us were waiting for a draft pick who fit that, and Falk was the draft pick, and he's not that kind of guy. So that means that there's going to be it's not going to look conventional. There. So is Jermaine John, you know, they're going to have, especially in base, which they're not in often, there'll be two big guys there for rundowns and not an edgy, burn the edge, bendy guy there. Now, in pass rush situations, you'd like to get more bendy there, but they don't have an extremely bendy guy. Is Jake Martin the guy they want out there in third down? I don't know. I think this is all to be sorted out and that they've just given themselves some options. But do I think Femi's going to be a 60% guy or a 40% guy? If your top guys are playing 60%, I would think he's probably on the 40% and starting out and needs to win his way towards the 60% end.
So do you not think that those two could complement each other at some point?
Who?
Femi and Falk.
At some point. But I don't know if it's this year when you've got Jermaine Johnson in a one-year contract.
But obviously,
what Femi needs to help ensure is that they don't need Jermaine Johnson after this year.
I mean, you're talking edge is one of their top three needs next year. Well, after your second-round pick and first-round pick were that position, I would hope that would not be the case because those are your two edges for a long time.
Well, as of now, I would say that Femi Oladejo projects as a third rusher, a third end.
Yeah, and I think that's fine this year as long as then you see big jumps.
No.
To the point where during the season you're like, okay, this guy's going to
suck. I'm talking long term.
You think he projects as a third rusher for his career?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Now, I don't know. I mean, we can see what he does. We haven't seen enough or everything.
Maybe he can put his helmet on and you can yell at him as he walks in the
locker. Right now, I haven't seen enough. I don't think he's a head case like Kevin Dodd.
But, I mean, even last year when they drafted him, we all thought, well, they need somebody to go in front of him. Now Falk is here in front of him. So I just think there's too much to shake out with too many people to really determine it. But if you're asking me right now, am I counting on Femi Oladejo to be a starting defensive end for the 2027 Tennessee Titans opening new Nissan Stadium? I'm not. I mean, I don't think anybody could. There's just not enough.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be hard to feel good about betting on that right now. But I'm saying, that better be the case.
Look, just between that, because I'm with you on everything you just said on Oladejo, but I'm also, between that and the fact that Keldrick Falk had two sacks at Auburn last year, I'm worried about these two. And look, I haven't seen Keldrick Falk play a down in the NFL yet, so I have no idea. He may go out there this year and win Rookie of the Year on the defensive side of the ball. I have no clue. But I'm just saying, on the surface heading into this, there are a lot of questions about that combo moving forward here before they've even ever played together.
Yeah, I mean, the combo of, those two on the defensive side, and then obviously, Warden Tate is the high profile. If you work out with those two combos and how much you've invested draft capital in them, you're going to be a really good team. That's a foundation. And if neither side works out, well, then everybody's going to be fired soon, and then we'll just start everything. I mean, that's what it is, right? It's like those are the two extremes.
Here's another thing that's been going around. I had this conversation with Braden Gall on our podcast the other day, and some people – he's higher on Tajay Sharpe than I am, right? And I need to
look – Tajay Sharpe.
Anybody's higher on Tajay Spears than I am. Anybody that has any feeling for Tajay Spears is higher on Tajay Spears than I was.
Wait, no, Spears or Sharp? Now you just mixed up Spears and Sharp again.
I'm referencing back to Spears saying I was down on him.
To Sharp.
I'm referencing back to Sharp. Whoa. Hold on. I'm referencing back to Sharp now, joking. I liked Sharp. He was a productive fifth-round pick. Then he got into the rap thing, and that was it for me. Stay your lane. Told me to stay my lane while he was trying to rap way outside of his lane. To Spears. I'm not as high on Spears as a lot of people. I need to look at the numbers. I don't think he runs between the tackles nearly as well as he needs to be a legitimately anything other than a change-up back. But he some people were saying, well, he's not destined for here because he's a ran guy. This team isn't going to purge itself of every single person connected to Rand. Peter Skoronski's going to be here.
It's true.
Long term. I think the purging.
Rand cooked.
Levis still here.
I think the purging of the Rand people from certainly from a Borgonzi level is over. Now, if somebody doesn't show in camp like Saleh and his staff wants, they may be out, but they're not going to be out because they're Rand guys. They're going to be out because
they don't feel like they can help them.
Yeah, they haven't won a spot.
Yeah.
And Spears is absolutely on this roster this year. I mean, just based on the shape of the roster. Now, they may keep an extra running back, depending on what's going on, because they like Mullings, I think, and they've drafted a running back, and Pollard's obviously there. And I think you also have to probably guard a little bit, don't you think, against a Pollard injury in a way that you might not be guarding against an injury with your running back one if he wasn't 30 and slowing.
Yeah.
No, I think all that's fair.
But do you guys like Spears between the tackles?
No. No, he's
quite
he's
frankly,
a
I'm with
space
you.
Guy, and you have to create a space.
Quite frankly, I'm with
he
you.
Doesn't create.
He will
space.
Be on the team. I would have no problem with them cutting him. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I don't think he'd
they're
be
not
a
going
cut
to.
Guy. I think he'd be a trade guy. I mean, I think some people in the league like him, but he's here.
Well, a great outcome is Singleton
takes
his place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great outcome is Singleton takes Pollard's
spot. Yeah,
you know, if he was so good, but I think that would take.
I'm on record that I'm not. I'm not shocked if a year from now it's Singleton and somebody else.
I'm with you. I think that would be best. I think moving on from both of those running backs who have expiring contracts.
But also
would
Singleton
be best for them.
The instincts clearly are deficient. He lost his job at Penn State, and he may not do anything.
Yeah,
I
think they'd need two ones, a second one to go with Singleton.
Yes.
A combo.
1A,
1B. 1A, 1A.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Get Tajay Sharp back in the fold. Have more with PK coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us here on the program.
Joe was just shockingly complimenting me on the Yankees for the first time in their history. Every player in their lineup had two hits last night.
Yeah, I was totally just talking about that.
That's amazing.
He brought it up, I think.
Go Yankees.
First time in their history. It's amazing they've never done that before.
It really is.
As you know, Joe, they have a long, extensive history.
Yeah. No, I do.
And that's they hit a lot.
Bandwagon generally. Fans like you love it.
Yeah, bandwagon. Just roll down the bandwagon.
They play in a different state than you're from.
How are the Tigers doing?
Yeah.
Baseball. What's the record?
Baseball does not exist. I'm so disgusted.
Let's see. I'm Tigers, so 21-34.
They're close to the worst record in the league.
Weren't
if not,
you decent last year? It.
Well, yeah, two straight playoff years. Won the division 2 years ago. Pretty.
Still got to track down Colorado, who is 20-36.
Ah, all right, got them in our sights.
Good luck with that.
Who's trading for Skubal? What are they giving up?
Yanks. Yanks will go get him.
Yanks rotation's pretty good. They need a catcher.
Can never have
a catcher
pitching.
For us.
You like Jake Rogers? You can't have Dylan Dingler.
Dingler it is.
Bring him on.
That's I don't care. Take anybody. Gives a crap.
I'll
take
give
the
you
team.
Some kids that won't, the that won't pan out. Our kids don't pan out, really.
What do we make of where things stand with Peter Skoronski? Obviously, the fifth-year option gets picked up. Do we think a long-term deal is coming at any point in the foreseeable future here?
You know, they don't really have deadlines for Skoronski or for Simmons. I think the time that the clock would start to tick loudly would be like next year pre-OTA. You know, it used to be like the training camp before your last season, and now it's moved up to, you know, before the spring of your last season because then you have the hold out of that.
Then you won't disrupt training camp.
Or the hold in. Well, even for the spring stuff, it can get kind of contentious. But I wouldn't be surprised if they got deals done for both of them or one of them, you know, between now and mid-training camp.
Do you think the Linderbaum deal this summer or this offseason is making NFL general managers look at it and say, good grief, like the interior offensive line. I know he's a center and it's different. But he just got paid $81 million, $60 million fully guaranteed. Do you think that that's causing problems with negotiations right now?
It certainly hurts the market. I mean, Skoronski's going to be a top-of-market guard, you know, until the next guy comes. You know, he'll probably be the highest-paid guard in the league. I don't know how the center thing affects that or where the top guard is right now. But he'll get his turn, and then it lasts as long as it lasts until the next guard gets his thing. And same with Simmons. And that's another reason to do it sooner rather than later. Because if three contracts come in between
then you have
now
to beat that now.
Yeah, right. So sooner rather than later. Plus, you can use this year's money. I mean, you could still use this year's money next year when you carry it over, but you might as well get the guarantee out of pocket and take the big hit on this year's cap on the front load. You know, you're in position now to front load, which is the way to do these things. So while they have a lot of money left this year, you want that money to take the big hit.
If they're really bad this year, speaking of all that money, and we have talked about what was out there, you could spend to spend. But I still feel like fans are going to be upset and bring that up a lot, especially if, like, that's an area where the problems come, right? Like the interior of the offensive line. What more could you have done? Could you have done more with your corner group in free agency?
I mean, they're pretty aggressive with the corners in free agency. You know, can you nitpick now and go back and look and say, well, you should have had this corner instead of
– I mean, they got two guys. They had to do that, but they're still light on depth.
I mean, I don't think it's – you know, if things go bad, you're going to be able to second guess a lot. You know, I think Linderbaum is very good center, but he's got some deficiencies to his game as well. I mean, he's not the strongest, biggest guy out there. He's a very good technical center, and a good leader and all of that. But are you going to go back and say, well, they paid him, what, 28? We should have paid him 29? I don't know if you want to be part of blowing up the market at a position like that. I think everybody seems to me as upset as people are that the interior offensive line is not settled, that people haven't gone back and said, well, they blew it by not doing X or Y. I mean, it's very reasonable what happened at center elsewhere that it undid what they could have done.
Yeah, but again, I go back to the 10, it's like the cycle of a rebuild, and I don't remember where the Ben Jones deal was. Not huge. It was not, I don't think it was top of market, and of course the numbers are a lot different 10 years ago, but my God, was that important.
Yes.
To have that guy to establish center be, and you know, of course, intangibly, he loved ball. You know, he loved ball.
Loved it.
But I mean, that was a huge, huge, huge addition. And I think it's still an underrated part of that whole uprising of the franchise. And so now there was a guy who maybe could have been a guy that, yes, ridiculous numbers, but also it's like this league, the cap, the money. I mean, the numbers that we're going to sit there and gasp at the numbers every year with something, and then they just keep going up.
Well, you hit on what fans are going to come back to, and that's the cap space that's still available to the Titans this year. That's what it's going to come back to, which is, according to overthecap.com right now, I believe somewhere in the neighborhood of $55 million. So it's a lot of money.
Go get people are asking for Bosa. People are still asking for Bosa. Or who else? Who's the receiver out there? Isn't there another receiver out there still? Most of them have been snatched up. Jennings got snatched up. There's somebody out there.
Where did Jennings end up going?
He's in Minnesota.
Yeah, that seems like a good match. Look, I think, you know, I'm not going to say I'm satisfied with the roster, but, I mean, you were looking for overhaul, and they've overhauled. And have they focused on, you know, two of the big spots? I mean, the defensive line is unrecognizable, the pass rush and the run stop. And wide receiver, they made two big moves.
Secondary.
And, yep. And the secondary, I mean, the secondary is almost different in that the secondary was empty. It's not like they were shipping people out and bringing people in. They had nobody.
Well,
so,
they shipped people out.
Well, I mean, they didn't really have people under contract even. You know what I'm saying? It was empty and needed
to
be
at the end
filled.
Of the year, right. But yeah. They helped make that so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they shipped people out during the year. So, I mean, it's replenished in a big way. So I think, yeah, if you're expecting it to go bad, there'll be a lot of – or if it does go bad, there'll be a lot of room to second guess. But I think you got to give it some time. It'd be so good for them if they started well.
Yeah.
And that Jets win alone could do a lot for getting them sometimes.
Well,
even if they started,
it'll do a lot. Either way, it might do more losing.
Yeah. Even if they started 1-3,
you gotta win
if
that
they
one.
Could win that game, if they could win that game and show something about some kind of identity and productivity on both sides of the ball, I think it could do so much for them.
What do you think? Fast forward to week four. They're on the road at Baltimore. They'll be playing against Derrick Henry. What do you think that's going to be like for Titans fans, for Derrick Henry? Because I was thinking through, I was like, I mean, I guess the closest thing that they've had to this, and it's probably, it was a bigger deal back then because it was McNair with the Ravens coming here, right? So that's different than you going on the road to Baltimore. But they really haven't, I mean, first off, they haven't had that many like franchise icons since they've come to Nashville. McNair obviously won a co-MVP, but you're talking about a franchise icon you're going to be seeing in week four. What do you think?
How were they
be
that
like?
Year after McNair left?
What was the reception he got, by the way?
I think it was a pretty good one.
It was solid.
Smattering of boos, mostly cheers type thing?
I can't think that anybody would have booed him because it wasn't his doing at all. It was totally the Titans moving on. And it was real. I mean, it's the same with Derek, right? I mean, that was the Titans. I mean, Derek chose it too, but I mean, it was more mutual. Steve
Titans
really,
were 8-8 the year they after
Steve
he left.
Would have said, "What were they?
8-8
8-8 Yeah. The traditional 8-8
Who was their coach?
Big Jeff.
How about that?
The original Big Jeff. The original Big Jeff with a sarcastic bigness.
Yeah.
Big mustache.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be. If it was here, it would be a whole different deal, right? It'll be a week of everybody downplaying it. And there really isn't much here that's attached to him. What's attached to him here? Simmons, right?
Yeah. Amani Hooker.
Very little else. Virtually nothing in the front office or the coaching staff.
Amani Hooker has to tackle him.
Yeah.
You need to love ball if you're going to go tackle that dude.
You do.
Love ball.
Is he going to whip the goalpost if he scores the touchdown against the Titans?
Yeah.
See, that
doesn't seem like his style.
No.
I would avoid having the ball, letting them have the ball at the 1 yard line.
I would too.
At any time in that game.
I would too.
One, I mean,
just
big,
in case.
A difference, obviously, is that, the Titans, I mean, it was about the decent timing, right, with that. And whereas Derrick Henry has been great. Post
since he left. Yeah, McNair had one good year, one bad year, and was done. He was very much at the end, which is why they were moving on.
And Derrick Henry, when the hell will he be at the end? Who knows? Yeah. I'm as far as I know, he's gonna have a Frank Gore like longevity and have like 6 more 1,000-yard seasons. I have no idea.
Human nature says he hits the wall at some point, but that point keeps being
pushed out.
And it really is remarkable. And they did the thing again where he showed up. I saw one of these AI headlines on Facebook that he had gained 30 pounds of muscle. Did you see that?
It's like, wow. Yeah. He's turned into Thor
Derrick
out there.
Henry,
it's amazing.
Derrick Henry, on top of his 245 pounds of muscle, had added 30 pounds of muscle.
Just has like huge bulgy muscles.
Muscles
out of
on top of his muscle.
Yeah,
he's
like
a cartoon.
I mean, it is. I mean,
humanly almost, impossible.
Almost 2,000 yards in 2024 at Baltimore, and then last year just 1,600 and 16 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Slowing down
a little bit.
Yeah. One more segment with PK coming up next. We'll take your thoughts 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road 102.5 The Game. Paul Kuharsky with us from paulkuharsky.com. PK, a very interesting story at your website on the inside story of how the Titans drafted Kevin Byard. Don't want you to give everything away, but just kind of tell people what they can find at paulkuharsky.com right now from Blake Bedingfield.
Blake Bedingfield wrote it, and then I went back and kind of...
entered fact errors into it?
No.
Okay, good.
Talked to some of the people that he kind of mentioned along the way or that he crossed paths with during his scouting of Byard. People at MTSU and Byard's agent. But, they thought maybe that they lost their chance at Byard when they traded up for Jack Conklin because they gave up the third-round pick that they had tabbed for Byard. And their major competition for Byard was Kansas City. And so they were really worried about Kansas City, and part of Blake's job there, because he knew the people at Middle, he got to know Byard, and he knew Byard's agent, and he was talking to them throughout. This is the kind of draft stuff that interests me, not your big board, the people out there, and what you think of a guy's first step and all of that. But the actual scout who was talking to the player and his agent throughout and saying, like, who's calling you and what are they saying? You know, and he was monitoring what the Chiefs were doing through this process.
So the Byards were thinking Eric Berry, because he was still in his prime then, right?
Yeah.
And Byard, what a combo.
So he was getting tipped off, and they came to a point where they had to pull the trigger on him at the start of the third round, or know that they were losing him to Kansas City coming up pretty quickly there. So I think it's a pretty interesting piece. I'd urge people to take a look at paulkuharski.com, how the Titans came to draft Kevin Byard.
That's one thing that does interest me in general, is how often do teams really have a great feel for this is the other team that we're in, or because how many times you get blindsided, like, we didn't have anything on these guys and they just moved up to get our guy. What the hell? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like how much and are some teams way better than others at being able to suss things out?
Well, I'm gonna have him do a couple more of these, and I was thinking of one of them being on somebody they missed. So, like, there's a pretty good running back.
It's a lot harder. Blake will talk about it, but, like, teams never want to do that.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Well, LeCharles Bentley was a center that it's long been talked about that they really wanted and missed. But there's a running back that we've been talking about that they coveted 1 year who fell and they thought was a huge value. And apparently they just couldn't get in range for. So I think it'd be interesting to read about what they were trying to do to get in position to get this guy. So maybe that'll be the next one.
I need you to go do a deep dive again on the 98 NFL draft and talk about Randy Moss dropping to 21 when the Titans took Kevin.
I don't think he was with the organization yet on that one, so my insider insight would be far more limited.
God, that is a – boy, that's one. That's one you think about, right?
That's a heck of a draft, by the way. Good grief.
I just remember –
Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson. Randy Moss.
I remember, you know, Minnesota came to Vanderbilt that year, and he let them up at Vanderbilt. And Blaine Bishop telling me after, he's like, Jerry effing Rice now, you can't effing touch him. He's like, Jerry effing Rice already, you can't effing touch him.
So in the Tennessean that appeared with, did they let you do like the F line, or just like expletive in a parenthesis?
Remember. We were pretty prudish. Pretty prudish.
It's a hell of a
especially
quote.
Especially in the 90s. Yeah.
Right. It was a hell of a quote.
It's a hell of a quote. I mean,
it's like, wow, this guy's the best player in the league immediately.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, that team
halfway through the season. It was maybe a November game.
Speaking of, you know, poor Vikings fans, I mean, that team went 15-1. They were utterly unstoppable with Chris Carter and him.
And that was the
insane.
Missed kick.
That was the missed kick against the Falcons. Oh. Which gives Elway, and I'm glad that Elway won one, because Elway is not discussed nearly enough as one of the greatest quarterbacks. We talk about Joe Montana all the time. I'll take John Elway.
Here we go.
Every day over Joe Montana. But anyway, I mean, that team absolutely should have won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. And to have that team after you had, you know, that generational Super Bowl failures earlier in your franchise's history, and
with
then to get
Chuck
that close
Foreman
and not be able Chuck Foreman was
and Ahmad
awesome.
Rashad.
Who's quarterback with the Vikings in 98? Was it Randall Cunningham?
Actually, it was. I think that was Brett. Was that Brad Johnson?
Brad Johnson.
Dante Culpepper.
Culpepper.
Well, Culpepper wasn't.
Was next.
He was next.
It's that same era ish.
Yeah.
I think Brad Johnson. I'm looking at Corey Curtis. Come on, NFC North
Johnson.
Expert.
I think in 98 it would have been Brad Johnson.
It was Cunningham.
It was Randall?
Yeah.
Okay, it was Randall.
3,700 yards, 34 touchdowns, 10 picks.
Well, that's three pretty good quarterbacks they had there.
That's right. I like them even more. I'm even more disgusted they didn't win it all.
He's disgusted they didn't win it all, and he's a fan of one of their arch enemies.
Titans.
I am not. Who would that be?
The Lions.
The Bears?
Titans legend.
I hate the Lions.
Gary Anderson, the kicker for that team.
Yeah.
Who had a perfect season, right?
I believe so, yeah.
And then missed, what was it, like a 45-yarder, 43-yarder?
It was a very makeable kick.
Made a big kick for the Titans, though.
Viking
taking out Baltimore on the road in the playoffs.
I was scared of Gary Anderson. He's just like a strange little fellow, and I was kind of scared of him.
Then he just
You have Arden Key doing hostage videos, but Gary Anderson freaked you out.
He did freak me out.
PK, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. Please don't block the box and be sure to lock your locks.
That's going to do it for us today.
Stay away from Gary Anderson.
We love ball here on the show. We'll be back tomorrow morning.
Bye, Bob.
Next man up with Jake Lyman and Corey Curtis coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.